shape the future of labor. And we'd like to also remind you of the 40th anniversary celebration of PACOON. It's on November 4th, 2017 at the SEIU building on Foster Street. Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us. Holla!
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of CORT, October 1st through the 29th at the Artist Repertory Theatre in Portland. CORT is an installation of visual art and live theatre inspired by playwright Lin Bo's own experience of being arrested and detained by the Chinese government. CORT explores the murky intersection of fact and fiction in the crafting of art and news. Again, that's CORT, October 1st to the 29th at the Artist Repertory Theatre, 1515 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. I'm with Millie, Myrna, and Trish Jordan with Red Lodge Transition Services. We are at the new Red Lodge Women's Transition Center in Oregon City. Trish, as the executive director, tell us briefly, what is Red Lodge Transition Services?
Well, the mission of Red Lodge Transition Services is to reduce and prevent incarceration and recidivism among Native Americans, and we primarily work with women. About 20% of our clients are men, and then we do go into the prisons and provide some cultural programming and behavioral health programming in some of the prisons.
And how many Native Americans are incarcerated or on post-prison supervision here in Oregon?
We're not really sure how many are incarcerated because the racial identity for a lot of folks is not accurate. We anticipate that we're probably, the men are 4 to 5% of the prison population and the women are 7 to 8. There's almost 15,000 in state prison here in Oregon.
And Trish, you said that you do go inside the prison. What type of programming do you have, and what prisons are you currently volunteering?
I'm carded for 7 of the 14 prisons. I primarily work over at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility with the women. We have a behavioral health class that we do every second and fourth Monday on the medium unit, and that's for women who are considered high risk. They've been cycling through the segregation unit or the behavioral unit, and there's a lot of trauma that we're seeing. And so we have several different components to the curriculum. Right now we're working on peer support.
And you hold Native American ceremonies inside the prison. Can you talk about that?
Well, we are Native American Religious Service volunteers, so almost all the work that we do goes through religious services. But one of the things that we do is we help the men's prisons once a year and the women's prison too with their annual events. And that's to bring in community members and authentic cultural programming and ceremony. Like the Semnashua Longhouse will come down and do the food blessing ceremony for the women during their annual event in May.
We are sitting in your current project right now, which is the Red Lodge Women's Transition Center here in Oregon City. This is a beautiful, beautiful home in a wonderful setting. Talk about how this came about.
Well, you can find anything you want on Craigslist. And I was ready to give up in finding a house because a year and a half ago when we were searching, we had a $150,000 housing grant through community development through Clackamas County. And it was just almost impossible to find a house to buy because houses were selling in 2 days for a higher amount than what they were even asking. And so it was just a long process. We found this place on Craigslist. The owner really liked what we were doing. He didn't want anybody to cut his trees. We told him we wouldn't cut his trees. We love the trees. And he was willing to carry the contract after the banks said that they wouldn't loan us the rest of the money for the house. We had $60,000 of our own money plus the $150,000, and because we didn't have the right kind of contracts, the bank didn't want to take a risk on us. So it was several months of negotiating with Clackamas County, and I really thank Kevin Coe and Steve Kelly from the community development program for sticking with us and supporting us and making it happen.
And we'll talk more about how you transformed this home into just this wonderful home for women releasing from jail, prison, and those in recovery also. Is that correct?
Yeah, for those coming out of treatment centers, I mean, really what we're finding is a lot of our women are homeless, and they're just so vulnerable. We don't want our women to be compromised. We want them to have a safe place to start that journey back into community. And we want to be able to provide them a healing place in order to do that.
And this certainly is a warm, wonderful, healing place. Millie, now you were incarcerated here in Oregon, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, why is it so important to have a home for women to transition to, and especially Native women, where they could continue or learn their Native American culture, and just a home where they could start their new life? Why is that so important?
Where I came from, I'm originally from Klamath Falls, so back there we didn't really have any transition housing for women when we were coming back from prison.
When did you release from prison?
It's been about 12 years ago. So that was after like my 13th time being in prison through the years at age 19. So I'm 48 right now. So it was a big, big change, a positive change. And so with that, a lot of that was, as you know, in, you know, thanks to like when I was in prison, I was with Trish and Tana. And so it was like these women, these strong women that who offered, you know, the ceremonies, the time and the consistency and to bring in hope.
So while you were incarcerated, you met Trish and Tana Sanchez, who is now Representative Sanchez. Is that who you're speaking of?
Yes.
So they came in the prison and connected with you?
Yes, they offered the talking circles, they offered the sweats, they offered, you know, it was just the encouragement and the compassion that they brought. What they did was, like, it was empowering, you know, empowering us as women, you know. So what was different is going anywhere else, I'm used to people being talked down about anything I've done. Nothing was ever, you know, up for a positive, And what I got from Trish and Tana was, you know, the compassion part, you know, the understanding. And, you know, and that part was that biggest thing to help me to heal and where I'm at today.
And Millie, while incarcerated or before you were incarcerated, did you follow your Native American spirituality and culture?
Before I came into prison for the last time, not really. I believed in it, but I never really practiced it. I never was really taught, you know. I never really seen the whole meaning. I knew that, you know, that was what I was supposed to do, but it was, you know, because of the teaching and the help with Trish, and especially Trish, you know, learning about the medicine and, you know, the sacred water, how sacred all of our medicine was, that I didn't have to take pills. I didn't have to go use drugs and alcohol, that there was another way to be able to heal. And that's even, you know, and I give that credit too for like my own mental health issues, my PTSD, everything, you know. But once I learned, it was such a natural way. That's where a lot of my healing comes. And yes, so today, yes, I believe in the water. I stand up for the water. I hold my medicine. I hold it close. I keep it with me in my bag all the time, for whether I'm at work, whether when I get up. And I offer this too to other people around me. You know, I'm able to give this gift to my kids as well.
So, Millie, you're all about to welcome the very first woman to this Red Lodge Women's Transition Home. What will she find once she walks through those doors from prison?
So what I'd like the women, when they come here, when they're coming from prison, that they're able to experience the coming out, the whole freedom, when they come here, you know, and that they're able to reconnect with everything that is here, that is offered here at this house. You know, the freedom, the birds, our animals, a lot of things that, you know, we took for granted. What she's going to find is like the healing, not only here for the house itself, but number one, having housing, to be able to have the opportunity to make these choices, to be able to, you know, transition is only like a 4 to 5, 6 months, you know. But within that time, while she's here, not only is she going to be able to, what she's done while she's in Coffee Creek and the programs there, it's going to translate it over here into what the real world, you know, being able to make those choices. Like me, I can speak on my behalf. You know, I spent a lot of my time in poverty, homelessness, addiction, incarceration over and over, treatment. I'm a mother and I have 7 children. Because of my addiction, my poverty, my homelessness, my incarceration, I was never able to be a mother to my children, because I was spending more time defending my alcohol and drug addiction and my criminality. At that point, I was hopeless. You know, I was totally hopeless. I didn't have any hope. I didn't see hope in anything else. Going to prison, going to jail, going to treatment was just another option. It was just my way of life. It was a lifestyle that I lived with for a lot of years. So yes, I did, you know, I chose all that over my own children. It was because a lot of that, there's a lot of hurt. And so again, like what this trauma stuff is about, it's real. And I know that. And it wasn't until it was brought to my attention, it was shown to me what it is and how to, you know, heal for myself. So I've been able to been out of prison for 12 years and haven't been incarcerated. Within that time, it allowed me to be able to heal. What she's going to see is that there's a lot of strong women here, and we're all going to be here to help her and, you know, and to be a part of that. And remember, because it's, for me, being a part of this is giving back what was given to me. This was given to me. Now I get this gift to give back to them.
Trish, when you purchased this home, it was a real mess, correct?
Well, it was a solid structure. We had one of our Native brothers, who's a contractor, come out and look at it, and he went through the whole thing. And it's a solid house, but gosh darn it, it needed to be rewired, and there was some plumbing issues. And it had been sitting vacant during the winter for several years, and so there was a real wet, musty smell to it, and the first thing we did was yank out all the carpet, and And, you know, everybody just got down on their hands and knees, literally. I mean, we just, we had big holes in the ceiling from a skylight that had leaked that had to be repaired. And
well, let me say a few things. I see new lighting, new windows, flooring, and all the furnishings.
Almost all of it was donated. Geldwin donated 7 of the windows. We had to replace most of the windows and 2 of the sliding glass doors. The carpet that is upstairs was donated. Most of the furniture was donated. I bought new mattresses and nice covers for the beds, you know, so that the rooms looked really nice. But everything else was donated.
Mm-hmm. And I understand thousands of men and women hours.
Almost 4,000. I've been trying to keep track of it. Almost 4,000 have donated volunteer hours. We did hire a crew of like 3 of our community members that had already put in their time in volunteering and continue to volunteer. And we did pay them to do the hard physical labor that we can't do. And so it was a win-win situation for us to have them come and let me boss them around and be good about it, and they're so proud of themselves, and they learned some really great skills. We had one volunteer who taught us how to put in a French drain. So there's a French drain the entire length of the back of the house. Our house has a hill behind it, so we worked really hard in making sure that the house was going to be keeping the water away from the house. So there's still winterization that needs to be done. We have no insulation in the attic. We took out 100 large trash bags of styrofoam from the attic. The person that owned the house threw all his styrofoam up there for years. And so it took a long time to get all the styrofoam out. The IBEW Local 48, the women stepped forward, and it's a Women Helping Women project, and they rewired the whole house. Globe Lighting of Lake Oswego donated the recessed lighting and several of the other fixtures, and we're just really blessed. Everybody has just come together and really supported the effort and really believe in the mission of this transition center.
And I understand you need a new heat pump for the winter, and you're having a fundraiser. You want to talk about that right now?
Sure. Yeah, we do have an electric furnace. We live too far off of the road for them to bring a gas line in. We looked at that initially because we knew we had to replace the furnace. But electric heat is just going to be cost prohibitive during the cold winter months. So we have a fundraiser October 21st at the IBEW Local 48 Union Hall. That's on 159th and Airport Way. And we're going to have a salmon dinner and fry bread, dessert. It's going to be really nice. We'll have some entertainment and have the art to sell. We are going to have a silent auction. If anybody has anything they'd like to donate to the silent auction, please get a hold of us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And give your telephone number right now.
503-245-4175.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. My guests are Millie Myrna and Trish Jordan, Executive Director of Red Lodge Transition Services. And we are at the new Red Lodge Women's Transition Center in Oregon City. Myrna, you are the house manager for the Red Lodge Women's Transition Center here in Oregon City. What is your role as house manager?
Whatever is needed.
What help or guidance do you feel you'll be giving the women here at the center?
Well, I'm an old mom, and I've got daughters, and I've got granddaughters, and a great-granddaughter, and so I can use those tools that I've got to help them
What type of help or support are you anticipating that the women releasing from prison will need or be seeking?
Well, I think they'll need resources, you know, and I'm pretty good at that, seeking out resources, but mainly the spiritual piece. That is probably it is the most important, as far as I believe. The spiritual side of what is what will keep us going, keep us out of prison. We need to get back to our own people, to our own ways of looking at things.
And Myrna, this setting here, the home is surrounded by forest. It's just a beautiful setting, trees, looking out of every window. Do you plan to hold ceremonies on this land?
Yeah, we'll eventually have a sweat lodge here. In the morning, you know, we can pray with the water, we can smudge, we can just go outside the door and sit, and the peace here, it just comes over you. The spirituality in this place is here already. You know, it's the people come. You can feel it when you come in this place. This is a holy place before we got here. And it will be here after we go, you know, after we leave. So that to me is the most important thing that these women need. You don't feel like you're a human being when you come out of these places. You don't feel like you're worth anything. And I want to help these women realize that they are worth something, that they got to look backwards to look forward. And in looking forward, that they can look towards those seven generations, that the steps that they take today will help those next seven generations. Mm-hmm. And everything that we do, every step we take will benefit or will hinder those next seven generations. So it's that important. Our ancestors prayed for us, and that's why we're here. And I want us to realize that we should be praying for our next seven generations, and that's why they will be here. We come from a strong people. We don't come from people that aren't survivors, or we wouldn't be here. And they need to know that. They need to know how strong they truly are, because we've survived a lot. And to know that, we've got to keep that in our mind, not all the other stuff, but that we survived and we're here for a purpose. We made it for a reason. The world needs us. They need our wisdom. They need to hear what we have to say, whether it's about the water or the land or how we raise our children, how we can touch each person is something that we need to do. It's why we're here. We weren't born just to sit here. We weren't born to do drugs. We weren't born to leave our children. We were born to help our neighbors. And the things that I can give is my experiences. And you know, I was in prison, and I got out, and it was a horrible, wonderful experience. And I know it can change your life for the better. You know, it can change your life for the better. If it wasn't for Trish and Tana, I wouldn't be alive, because I would have came out an angry woman. But because of, especially Trish, she basically picked me up. Because of her, I didn't come out an angry person. I came out an excited person, ready to learn everything I could about my people.
And now, as a Native woman, you're ready to give back to other Native women as they release from prison. So, Trish, talk about how many women will stay here at the home. What is the length of stay? What are some of the programs and activities you'll be offering here?
Well, originally we planned for 9 to 10 women because phase two was going to be to build out the garage, but we can't do that until we deal with adding on to the septic system because the tank is 1,000 gallons. It was supposed to be 1,500 when we bought the house, but it is what it is. So we have enough room for 6 women. So we'll have 6 women at a time. They'll stay 3 to 6 months is what we anticipate. And each person that comes in will have a needs assessment done and will create their own goals. And then there'll be an opportunity for them to work with a counselor one-on-one every week to review their goals and what they've achieved. And if what they're doing needs to change, then we'll redo that assessment. But basically, we expect women to be able to figure out what they want to do as far as hopefully a career where they can make a livable wage. We have a pretty good relationship with the Women in Trade program. The IBEW Local 48 women are very supportive. They'd love to have more women in the electrical trade, and that's a pretty good job.
Very high paying. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, and really that's what our focus is to raise people out of poverty and to just give folks a foundation upon which to rebuild their lives. A lot of these women have never planted a garden. They've never harvested food. They don't know how to can or preserve. We're going to have people that come out and teach us how to take care of the fish. You know, when the fish start coming in, they're running right now, and how to cook. I mean, a lot of there's just so much recycling. A lot of ladies don't know about recycling, so we hope to give them a lot of different tools plus case management to where, you know, they can really leave the Red Lodge with a good knowledge base. We've got a really nice library. I'm excited about the library. We have an assortment of books, and one of the things that we've asked the ladies to do is to pick a book, any book, one book a week, and write a 1 to 2 page report that they can then deliver to the group so that we can all learn something new every week.
Mm-hmm. And children, are children welcome in the home?
Well, children are always welcome, but at this stage, you know, we really can't take on children living here, but we will have reunification on the weekends. We have someone who is very skilled in early childhood development that's going to help us develop that part of our program.
So, Trish, sum up what the Red Lodge Women's Transition Center means to you and will mean for the women transitioning to this home.
Well, I hope that for some of these women, it's going to be life-saving. You know, this is a healing place. This is a safe place. This is a place to get your feet underneath you and really be able to hit the ground running and to know that you have the support that you need to do the work that you need to do and to be able to access resources. Just being supported culturally is a really big deal because a lot of folks that don't understand culture don't realize that, you know, people are raised in a different way. We have different, you know, ways of even joking with one another. You know, our humor is different than some folks can even imagine. They just don't see the humor in some of the Indian, you know, if you get teased, it doesn't mean that you're not liked. It means that you are liked. You know, people wouldn't even pay attention to you if they didn't, you know, like you. So sometimes you get a nickname or just, you know, it just is an opportunity for them to feel safe and connected and start working on some of that historical trauma that keeps them stuck and keeps them from really moving forward in their life.
So, Trish, how can people contact Red Lodge? Your phone number and website and Facebook?
Phone number is 503-245-4175. The website is www.redlodgetransition.org. And you'll see a lot of pictures on the house if you go to the site, and you can see some of the work that's been done and the community spirit that's been brought into the house.
This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, and we're at the Red Lodge Women's Transition Center in Oregon City. My guests have been Millie Myrna and Trish Jordan, who is the Executive Director of Red Lodge Transition Services. Thank you, ladies, very much, and this is a wonderful home. Wonderful things are going to happen here.
Thank you, Karen. We really hope so, and we love KBOO.
Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you to our engineers, Danielle and Mike. Good night.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Paint and Struggle, Muralism and Radical Politics in Chile, Wednesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at People's Co-op in Portland. Paint and Struggle, Muralism and Radical Politics in Chile is an evening that will feature a short documentary film and a conversation about the collaboration between students and organized labor in the struggle for free higher education in Chile. Again, that's Paint and Struggle, Muralism and Radical Politics in Chile, Wednesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at People's Co-op, 3029 Southeast 21st Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you for your pause, for your like, for your click. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
We want to thank everyone who joined or renewed your membership during our fall membership drive here at KBOO. We came very close to our 100